Hi, everybody. Welcome to Election Profit Makers, your guide to winning and losing money on political outcomes and current events. My name is Kid Midas, and I have to start with a pretty sincere apology. I'm under the weather, folks. I'm congested.
You sound fine.
I tested negative for COVID, but boy, oh boy, I was blowing my nose like an absolute fiend all through the night. So I'm going to be a little congested this week. John is going to take the lead. So let me introduce John before he speaks so that you don't get freaked out when you hear his voice. I actually co-host this podcast with someone named John.
Yep, that's me. Hey, everyone.
And he's a great guy and a good friend, and he can't wait to host this week's episode while I just kind of lie around and let the snot run out of my those tubes in your nose. Nasal cavities? What am I talking about? Sinuses. Where are the sinuses? In your nose or beside your head?
They're in your face.
Yeah, my sinuses are in my face. They're all up in my face right now.
Yeah, up above your eyes.
Oh, my God.
Behind your cheekbones.
And what's by my nose? Because my nose feels bigger than ever, and I do have kind of a bulbous nose.
I think your nose is part of your face as well.
Mm. Well, my nose is really rocking me right now. Illnesses. Health and illness, right?
Illnesses. Boy, they will get you.
John, the healthy man has 1,000 wishes. The sick man has but one. Isn't that a heavy quote? That's where I'm at right now.
Who wrote that?
I don't know. Probably Albert Einstein or Abraham Lincoln or one of those people is always popping up on Twitter with a little photo and then some quote that they absolutely did not say and would have never said in 1,000 years. Like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's like when you sent us that quote from Hubert Davis, the UNC basketball
coach. I knew you were about to bring that up.
And he was quoting something from the Bible, and
from Proverbs.
Was not the King James Bible. That's for damn sure.
No,
it was the Proverbs, like 25 or something, and it was like, don't get distracted by the sideshows of life. It's like, yeah, they were talking like that in Bible times. The sideshows. Like, that must have been like the New Teen Translation or something.
Yeah.
The Circus Carney's Bible. Don't get distracted by the sideshows of life. Oh, my gosh. We have fun here on Election Profit Makers.
Yeah.
Even when we're sick, we have to keep our spirits up because laughter, as they say, is the best medicine. So, doctor, dose me up. I'm bending over, pulling down my trousers, and letting you inject me with a hypodermic full of chuckles. John, take it away. I'm done talking.
Trump. Yeah. Donald Trump. He's in the news this week.
Killing it.
Apparently, his assets are going to be seized. I feel like we talked about this last week as well. Eric Trump is upset. He tweeted the other day, the entire world is watching this unfold. The notion of seizing properties owned by the former president of the United States and the front runner for president in 2024, properties belonging to a company that has never missed a payment, never been in default, never breached a covenant, built American skylines.
That's why I put this. That's why this is in the outline. The skyline
has repeatedly made banks hundreds of millions of dollars while employing thousands of hardworking New Yorkers, is shattering the trust of not just New York, which is fragile at best, but in the entire legal system in the United States. So if you don't miss any payments on your credit card bills, you can just break the law.
Well,
and not have to worry about that.
Trump's doing okay, though, because I thought he was going to get in a lot of trouble yesterday with he was going to have to write a check for like $500 million, but they let him skate.
Yeah, they did this reverse IPO, and
no, not just that. I'm talking about the appeals court ruling.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They like cut it in more than half and gave him another 10 days to come up with the money. Oh, God, sorry. Maybe I'm just allergic to bad news.
I kind of like that. I thought that was nice.
That was nice of them to do that for him?
I mean, he still has to come up with like $200 million.
It is true. They did do him a real kindness. And you don't see a lot of that in the judicial system these days.
No. So he'll probably stop complaining.
They acted with real empathy for him.
You think he'll stop complaining?
Yeah, I think he'll stop complaining. I think he's like, gosh, thanks, guys. I really wasn't expecting this. Wow. Huh.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I guess things are pretty cool after all.
So I don't think he's going to have trouble coming up with the money because his Truth Social company had what's called a SPAC, where they had some kind of reverse IPO on the public markets. And now he is
DJT on your stock ticker, I believe, is the right?
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, of course it is.
So now he's back to being worth $6.5 billion, and he's a little more liquid. He's in the top 500 richest people in the world. For real.
Is he a superhero? Truly, is he a superhero? Because he's like, truly does like Batman stuff where you think they got him this time. Yeah, you got him. He's not richer than ever. I think he might be a superhero. I used to think he was a supervillain, but maybe he's a superhero.
Yeah, maybe he is. Well, so this will help him. Maybe he'll be a little more flush.
Come on, Stormy Daniels. Speaking of superheroes, it all comes down to the Stormy Daniels trial. It's the only one no one is bothering to mess with because it's the one that feels so paltry and low stakes. That's the one, though. That's the silver bullet. Stormy Daniels, you sound like a superhero. It's time to act like a superhero.
Stormy. Stormy.
Uh-huh. That's it.
Storms operate in your eyes.
Stormy, I need you to get on that witness stand, and I need you to give the most harrowing eyewitness testimony that has ever been heard in an American court of law.
Yeah.
I want nothing left to my imagination or the imaginations
please.
Of voters. I need you to get so granular and so vivid in your descriptions of
what
transpired.
It's not fair. I don't want to hear any of this stuff.
I think we all need to hear it because it will serve, John, as this kind of synecdoche for all of Trump's transgressions. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Stormy, I need this to be one of the unforgettable moments of American storytelling. This needs to be like a FDR fireside chat paired with whatever another famous thing is. It needs to be all of those things, but it needs to really be about Trump and his little penis and him having sex with you and how awful it was when his wife was home, like nursing their son, right? This was when, hadn't Melania just had Barron?
Listen, nobody has said that Trump is a good person, okay?
Millions of people have said Trump is a good person.
Well, he's a good person now.
Oh.
This was in the past.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So he has been sent here by God.
This is the evangelical line.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
And that just because he's had all these horrible things that he's done, you can't really use it against him.
Yeah, that's true. Stormy, see what you're up against? This is why you need to describe every fold and mole and skin tag and vein and liver spot.
All right.
And wayward hair. We need it all, Stormy. You need to summon your full powers of expression, Stormy.
Moving on to our portfolios.
Moving on to our predictive portfolios. John, does any of the aforementioned scandal or a deadline extension or bond reduction, does any of this affect what we're looking at in the GOP 2024 presidential nominee market or the 2024 presidential election winner market?
Well, in the GOP market, Trump is trading at 93 cents. So
same as last week. No difference.
Apparently not.
And in the 2024 presidential election market, just like last week, Trump and Biden are locked in step at 47 cents. So I guess none of this really matters?
No. Nope.
Well, that was fun. We checked in on our predicted portfolios. When is predicted going to get some damn fucking... Why is there not a North Carolina presidential market?
I don't know.
This would be the ultimate market. What are they doing? Why don't they just shut down? They have 15 markets. Why don't they just shut down? What's going on?
I don't know.
I'm sick and tired, John. I'm sick and tired.
We're going to have to go to Poly Market or whatever. I hate that name, Poly Market.
It's a bad name.
It is a bad name. Predict it's a good name.
Speaking of Poly Market, our mutual friend John Kay, who's always submitting bad boys for us to research, including that guy who ran that sex club that Hunter Biden got thrown out of. And then when Biden got thrown out of it, he was deposed as the king of that sex club.
Yes.
Remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a... he sent this.
Are you talking about this email he sent?
Oh, no. This is different. Actually, I sent this to him.
Oh, okay.
So there was a New York Times article last week about I guess you would call it a sex-positive townhouse where people could fool around with each other while living together. It was called the Hacienda. And the founders were a married polyamorous couple, and their names were Andrew and Beth Sparksfire. And then it was also manned by a personal trainer turned sex educator who went by the name Kenneth Play. Do you like those names?
Kenneth
Come on, those
Play.
People must be having so much fun.
Oh,
doesn't it sound
gosh.
So fun to name yourself something like that?
Yeah.
Sparksfire. Mrs. Sparksfire, I was wondering, could we get oat milk in the refrigerator? You know, like, because it'd be like, forget it. Let's retire. I'm so sick.
Really?
Yeah, let's retire. Let's announce our retirement.
No, we're not retiring.
Oh,
what about
fuck.
The North Carolina Limelight update? Nothing's happened politically in North Carolina this week, but March Madness, there are three Research Triangle universities that have made it to the Sweet 16, 18.8% of the Sweet 16.
Speaking of March Madness, John, if you're not a Patreon member, we're going to be talking about the remainder of the basketball season over on our Patreon with our annual March Madness update. And if you haven't listened to this week's initial dispatch, you're missing out on something truly extraordinary, which is that out of the 100-plus listeners who signed up for the EPM Madness tournament bracket, the number one spot, the person who has gotten more games called correctly than any other, is yours truly, Kid Midas. I am the top of the leaderboard. And this week, John, in his bewilderment, asks me for an explanation as to how I got so many things so right. And I tell him, I just listen to the numbers. So if you sign up for Patreon to listen to this episode, you will hear how I use the numbers to inform my picks. And that is why, folks, I am at the top of the leaderboard. We also realized in real time that I could go to the UNC game at the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles on Thursday. And I bought a ticket. And if I'm not dead because of my congestion, I'm going to go on Thursday. So even if you don't follow basketball, even if you don't want to sign up for the Patreon for the March Madness recaps, on Thursday, watch the, what is it, the Clemson game and then the UNC game?
Arizona, Clemson at 7 and then 7 Eastern. UNC, Alabama is the nightcap.
I got a ticket on the 16th row directly behind one of the basketball hoops. So take a look for me. I have a mustache. I'm tall, and I'm going to be wearing a t-shirt that says, listen to the numbers. So keep your eyes peeled, because if one of you sees me on TV, I've got to get a screen cap of that. That will be a moment of podcasting history, the likes of which no one has ever seen. Those guys at Radiolab are going to turn in their microphones when they see this happen.
Let's do listener questions,
John,
David.
What on earth?
How about that?
I love it. Your initiative
okay.
And your fire, your passion for our listeners. Can't be beat.
You know, one of the first things we need to do is a correction. Apparently last week I said something about Ed Harris being in the movie Apollo 13, and that wasn't true. Oh, no, that was still true. But he wasn't an astronaut. He was astronaut adjacent.
Astronaut adjacent, correct.
And he played the flight director, Gene Kranz. So he was in Mission Control in Houston and not up in that bucket of bolts.
How dare you? You're talking about one of our finest rockets.
It wasn't. It fell apart.
Oh, is that true?
It wasn't a rocket at that point. It was just a limb, which lunar module.
Hmm.
No, maybe the lunar module is the thing that lands on the ground and then the...
Thanks to the listener who wrote in with an email with the subject line wrong in all caps and an exclamation point. I assume the email was going to be about Israel, but it was about the casting in Apollo 13. So there you go.
Yep.
Next listener question.
Sandy.
Sandy shores and rising waves. It's another day at the beach.
Sandy, sandy, storms operate in your eyes. Or that's Sarah.
That's Sarah, yeah. Is that the line, storms operate in your eyes?
Storms operate in your eyes? I'm sure it's not.
Storms operate in your eyes. That's really psychedelic.
But there is a song about Sandy from Greece.
Oh, really?
Probably.
Sandy's probably loving this. This person probably loves it when people make fun of it.
Yeah, Sandy. Hey, here comes Hurricane Sandy,
right,
or should we say Superstorm Sandy?
Apologies to Sandy. This actually, now I feel like such a shithead.
Yeah.
Because people used to call me Reese's Pieces. That got pretty fun and original after 40 years. Sandy, I'm right there with you. Some of us are burdened with these incredible names that are so lovely and powerful. People try to bring them down to earth so that they can breathe in their presence. And so they do this by teasing. Trying to bring down these colossal names like Sandy and Reese and other.
I like the name Sandy.
All right, I do too. Sandy, it's Dandy. Oh, God.
Oh, God. So Sandy writes in, following up on your talk about Mark Robinson's dad from the 19th century, did you know that there is someone alive right now whose grandfather was John Tyler, the 10th president of the United States?
Tippy Canoe and Tyler too.
Yeah.
The sickest presidential campaign slogan of all time.
That's right. So this guy's name is Harrison Ruffin Tyler, and he's 95. He was born in 1928 when his dad, Lion Gardner Tyler, was 74. Lion Tyler died when Harrison was 7.
Again, it's the key to getting away with this type of stuff is to have a father who sires you when they're in their 70s.
Exactly. Exactly. I have a couple of generations in our family where the dad, where like my grandfather and great grandfather's dad was in his late 40s. So it's not really that far back to go to the Civil War in my family. Yeah.
My grandfather was born in the 19th century, but of course my father was born in the 20th century.
Yes.
Do you agree with that statement about my family?
When was your grandfather born?
I think he was born in the 1890s.
Okay. Mine was born in 1913, but his dad was born like 1860 something.
Now we're getting way back.
Yeah.
You know you're old when your parents have black and white photos of their relatives.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or they have these kind of like weird, I don't know if they're daguerreotypes, but it's like kind of slimy. Yeah. I don't know. It's not slimy, but it's like these kind of early portrait photos that were taken that they just hit different. Like
they do. There's a different vibe to them,
look
as they
so
said back then.
They look so freaking good, too. They look so good.
Yeah.
I'm still up on my conspiracy theory about film processing and film developing. And I know I talked about this with some listeners after our gig in Gainesville last year.
Yeah, I've never heard this.
Something's going on with film processing. I think they're all using digital scanners and printers for these photos because these photos are not looking right. When I go to get a roll of film developed, it doesn't look like it did 20, 30 years ago. Something is off. I'm sure of it.
Well, I think AI is probably doing it. Before, you actually had somebody looking at them.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's the fact that it's not wet chemical processing anymore. It's flat digital printing. Someone help me communicate these ideas to the mainstream, please.
Okay.
Moving on.
Sarah writes in.
Do the whole thing singing. That'll be great.
Storm operates in your
that
eyes.
Can't be right. That's so weird.
Sarah. Was that Christopher Cross?
No, it's Starship.
Oh, okay. Christopher Cross sang.
No,
sang.
Time is
sailing.
Yeah, exactly.
Sailing away.
And Chris Cross sang Jump.
That's right. And they wore in their music video, they were wearing UNC and Duke gear backwards because they were the ultimate bad boys.
And they sampled I Want You Back by the Jackson 5, one of the great samples in hip hop history.
That's right.
And the Jackson 5, of course, never performed live with the Ben Folds 5, who operated briefly in Chapel Hill, along with Bicycle Face. And of course, I Want to Ride My Bicycle was a modest hit for the band Queen. Fronted by
Sarah
Freddie
writes
Mercury.
In, thanks for all the fun.
Speaking of the devil. What a perfect, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Because we were having a lot of fun just then, and you were liking what I was saying, and you wanted me to keep talking about it.
Thanks for all the fun, Sarah writes. EPM helped me through a very traumatic time a while back. I was on a flight home from a work conference, and I was already at the end of my rope. Right when we landed, the guy across from me jumped up, slung his backpack over his shoulder, and reached up to open the overhead bin. He'd hung an enormous metal water bottle on the back of his bag. The bottle swung around and conked me. The sound was so loud that the people in the rows behind us gasped. I wanted to disappear. John was right all along, I thought to myself. And that thought made me laugh in spite of it all. I signed up for your Patreon as soon as I got home, and I'm glad John is properly hydrated now, but I pray he never attaches his massive bottle to the outside of a bag. He could kill someone. I would never do that, and thank you for signing up.
This is your new favorite listener. You feel nothing but absolute vindication from Sarah.
That is awful that happened to you,
and I'm sorry.
This story
is so fake. This person is just trying to gain your
sympathy.
You can't
imagine that would happen. That
I
someone
can't imagine
would jump
that you would go to a work
their...
conference and then at the end of the conference be at the end of your rope. You should be so exhilarated and excited by the
You're
work
right.
conference.
That part does scream.
You get to go
fly.
On a free airplane trip to somewhere else. Like, I only got to do that once in my life for an ophthalmological technology conference that took place in Santa Monica. You think I was on an absolute high the entire week. Actually, I think it was more like 4 days. I got to fly to Los Angeles. I got to see my friend Nate, who was an artist working in Los Angeles. He and his partner at the time lived in a windowless warehouse in Inglewood where they would make their paintings. We went to this crazy party that I realized afterwards, looking back on it, was probably like a sort of had kind of like a Jeffrey Epstein vibes. Like the party was a little bit sketchy now that I'm a grown up and now they're more mature and I can think about some of the things at the party. Like, anyway, And I got, and I, it did not count as vacation days because I was doing it for work. So okay. Yeah, I think Sarah's,
heads up. I'm getting a notice here. It says heads up, new recording track created.
Oh yeah. You're recording on a new track. You gained, you sound like shit too.
Yeah, you're thinking that when I grab my water bottle, maybe I hit.
Oh, I'm happy. You broke it because of your water bottle. So maybe Sarah is right. Maybe water bottles are bad. All right, we have to restart.
Fuck.
All right, forgive us, everybody. We'll be back in a minute. Bye-bye.
Okay,
just John's water bottle.
Turn it off.
Let's stop and just do a new recording. And we're back. So let's explain what just happened. This is truly extraordinary and really puts me in my place.
Oh my God.
Listener Sarah wrote in thanking us for our wonderful podcast, which is always so enjoyable. And she referenced John's obsession with clanking water bottles and the threat they pose to society with a story from her own past in which she was hit in the face by a water bottle attached to the backpack of a fellow passenger on an airplane flight. Well, I called bullshit on that story because I didn't believe she would have had a bad time at the end of a business conference. I was calling the entire water bottle clanking into question because I thought it was just John Kimble bait. In the middle of my explanation, what does John Kimble do? Takes a swig from his, yes, huge fucking water bottle, which my brother gave him as a birthday gift, as a joke, but which John now has sincerely adopted as an inseparable element of his lifestyle. John's water bottle there went on to dislodge his microphone connection and jeopardize the entire recording. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Sarah, I never should have doubted you, and I'm glad that this podcast has delighted you and will continue to delight you through all of the traumas that are in your past and in your future, as they are for all of us. Many traumas await us, laughing and chuckling in the bushes as we make our merry way down this primrose path we call reality.
The thing that really set her up or set that guy up for failure was not just the water bottle. The water bottles are dangerous. They get clanged around, but attaching it to the backpack.
You know, he had a carabiner, you know, he had that little mountain hiking carabiner and thought he looked so badass.
But people aren't aware of the space that a backpack, where it is in space. And
yes,
I know
Lord.
This because I went to China years ago and had a giant backpack that I wore.
No, your
on
backpack
back.
Was pretty small.
And I probably knocked over like 100 people with
well,
it.
It was a small backpack, but because I know we've talked about this before, but just indulge us because I'm sick. We went to China for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
John brought only a JanSport elementary school style backpack.
Yeah.
He just brought a backpack. For 2 weeks.
What did you guys
bring? So was that backpack stuffed very tight with
what
shit?
Did you guys bring?
The backpack stuck out like 3 feet. Like the back pouch was so distended.
Yeah. It is one of those things that you need to wear on the front.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're just knocking people over.
So you kind of looked like a snowman or some kind of crazy waddling bird because you had this huge backpack belly on.
No, I don't know if I ever wore it on the front.
I think you did it.
I think I wore it on the back. I look more like an astronaut because they have those giant things on the back.
No, but yours went further out. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the width, so you just had the depth.
Yeah, long time ago, China.
That's the kind of thing where if we had walked into a store and you had turned around to look at something, you would have knocked off like 1,000 glass figurines onto the floor. And we would
that's
have been
right.
responsible for all of them. So that's just a little backpack story.
All right. Moving on. Craig writes in, for John, I happen to live in Chapel Hill. Look for my Listen to the Numbers bumper sticker.
Oh, shit. He must be a Patreon member.
Yeah. And I'm noticing lately a barrage of advertisements for sports betting coming to North Carolina. DraftKings, MGM Plus, FanDuel, etc. Like a really real barrage. It's just nonstop. I'm sure you've noticed. Oh, I have noticed. It is nonstop.
Are these
so
TV
what does
ads?
This mean? What's that?
TV ads?
Online ads.
Oh,
like
right,
every
right.
other tweet is DraftKings and FanDuel and or somebody from the Carolina Panthers saying, hey, North Carolina, you need to sign up. Or J.J. Redick going, hey, North Carolina, or Kenny Smith. It's just everybody.
This doing that? Oh,
everybody.
That's disappointing.
Everybody. Every minister. Every school superintendent is getting paid by the gambling companies in uh-huh. North Carolina. Roy Cooper is probably out there
making ads like Christy
making
Noem.
Ads for MGM. So He continues, it's just nonstop. I'm sure you've noticed. What does this mean for North Carolina? Is 50% of the population about to lose their life savings betting on the Panthers in their underwear? Is this ever a good thing? I guess it brings some money into the government budget, but is it at the cost of the citizens? In my opinion, your explanation will be like a localized PSA. Much appreciated.
All right, John, what's your PSA about legalized sports betting in North Carolina? Let's hear it.
Well, since this is sort of a quasi gambling podcast already.
Investing, I beg your
investing,
pardon.
Investing.
Totally different.
I was interested and curious about sports betting in North Carolina because I watch a lot of sports. But no, gambling.
And you're one of your best friends is a known savant when it comes to picking brackets.
That's right. That's right. I have connections.
You know, one of the top bracket pickers of this year and any year.
I would like to say that I think gambling is terrible for the public. Uh-huh. And I think the lottery is bad. Mm-hmm. And while I like the freedom in North Carolina, now that the lottery's here and you can play it, I know that in general, it's not worth it for the citizenry.
What about the fun they get out of anticipating what they're going to do when they win $20 million?
Right. You know, I just think it preys on poor people. Mm-hmm. And it's not a religious thing for me. Like, I think that it's wrong in any way. I just don't think it's necessarily good. But when all the states around you have the lottery, at a certain point, you got to give in because all of your citizens are just crossing the border. And I think that's kind of what's happened with sports betting as well. But I don't think it's good. I think there's going to be a giant scandal. I think it's bad that everybody's getting paid by these companies. And I'm hoping that everybody doesn't get addicted. I wanted to sign up for all these apps because they are giving away hundreds of dollars in free bets for you to sign up.
They give you a free taste, just like the drug dealers
do. I got to tell you, it's such a pain in the butt to sign up. I think the first one I tried to sign up for was ESPN Bet, and I didn't get through the sign-up process, and I just quit. I said, I'm not going to do it. So my thinking is if someone like me, who really loves sports and gets a rush out of betting for these things, isn't willing to go through that, that maybe this thing is a giant house of cards and it's not going to turn out well.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this online or on our podcast, Election Profit Makers. My biggest fear or the addiction that I would – the addiction that scares me the most is a gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. Nothing is scarier to me than the thought of being addicted to gambling. Like, I would rather be addicted to anything else. And it might not be objectively the case that nothing is worse than a gambling addiction in terms of like your health or your body or something, but still, I have had so much like financial precarity in my life as a freelancer. I mean, not true financial precarity. I knew I was never going to wind up on the street, but I've always been stressed about money and had a really dysfunctional relationship to money. The idea of going into a casino or betting on a game, like, have you ever seen that Adam Sandler movie called Uncut Gems? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's scary.
That kind of stuff is so terrifying to me.
And I think some people just have this gene where they're more susceptible to it.
Right.
I don't have that. I do have an addictive personality about certain things, but
oh, really?
I've not gotten addicted. You know, when I've gone to Vegas, I've never had a problem. I obviously am not going to sign up for this. So I don't think that's there for me, but I know it's there for a lot of people.
And similarly, my life is defined by depravity and vices that would test the imagination of even the Marquis de Sade and the biggest perverts of all time who wrote 50 Shades of Grey. But gambling? Mm-mm, not for me. That's too spicy. I'll take a hard pass on gambling.
See, I think this might hurt our cred.
Why? We're investors. We're not gamblers.
Because I think people that listen to this podcast expect us, you know, we're handicapping the various things that are happening in the political sphere that they would expect that would naturally... I think many people that are involved in prediction markets are also involved in sports handicapping and make a decent living. And I actually think I probably could do it.
Let's take a look at our brackets, John.
Basketball is notoriously a bad sport to bet on. It's just...
I'm not having any problems. I'm currently ranked number one in our bracket.
Okay.
Because why, John? Say why. What do I listen to?
The numbers.
The
He listens to the better seeds. In other words, he just picked all chalk.
Now that we're talking about it, I wonder if I could apply this technique to the slots and poker. Do they work the same by the same principle with numbers? Maybe I should go gamble and take my listen to the numbers technique and sit down at a slot machine and see if I can really run it up.
I think, yeah.
Let's consider that.
You want to go to Vegas?
Yeah, let's go to Las Vegas and gamble and go crazy.
The thing about Vegas is that can you still smoke everywhere? It's exciting to be in Vegas, but you go to that sports book and you can't even breathe.
I think they've outlawed smoking in Vegas.
I kind of don't think they have.
Maybe they haven't. They probably have really good air filtration systems. You know what I mean? Like the air quality in those casinos filled with people smoking is probably better than the air quality outdoors in Carrboro right now.
I don't think that's true at all.
I bet it is, because I bet they have some of the best air filtration systems. You know how before kale became a health food staple, it was the number one buyer of kale in the United States was Pizza Hut, because they used it to line their salad bars? You know that little, it's like a famous piece of trivia.
No, I didn't
know. The biggest consumer of kale was Pizza Hut, but they weren't using it as food. They were using it as decoration.
Interesting.
I bet similarly, the biggest innovations in air filtration systems come not from the military or from HVAC research, but from casinos, who are creating the greatest air filtration systems yet known to humankind. So yes, John, let's go to Vegas. Let's find an air filtration conference, like a trade show in Vegas, and go. And then at night, just get so fucking hammered and lose all our money.
Okay.
And listen to the numbers as they say goodbye.
All right. Well, I think that's the thing now. You don't really have to go to Vegas. You can just do it on your phone.
You can lose money just about anywhere these days.
Yeah.
You can lose a lot more than money, too. You can lose your soul if you're not careful. Check out thebible.com. That'll get you right.
Chris sent us an email. They wrote, I recorded this chorus of frogs from my front yard on Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, while I was taking my dog out to do her business. Let's listen to it.
Perfect. Let's check out these frogs. And we're back. I have to say, John, I love this recording, and I've really turned the corner here with an analysis of my mind and my preferences. I kind of think I find frog sounds more appealing than bird sounds.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
The frog stuff is like more of a blanket. It's more soothing. It's more, you know what I mean? And birds are, so many birds are, they have this, it's kind of like, it's more interesting sonically, you know, it's more complex.
I think they're doing more their own thing, the birds are, whereas I think the frogs are sort of working in harmony.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the birds are spiky, like a guitar solo or something. The frogs are like more of a chorus or a choir. It's like, hey, man, mm-hmm. No one's louder than the others. We're all just going to sit here. We're going to get in this groove and we're just going to zone out by this lake. So I like this recording. Thank you, Chris. Not to say we don't want to hear more bird recordings. We love nature recordings.
James writes in, I hope this email finds you well. My wife and I
it
are
does
doing...
not. I'm sick.
Okay. My wife and I are doing one of our favorite weekend activities, sleeping in, making some coffee, and catching up on EPM. Before I get to my guitar pedal question, owe you both an apology. I received the Patreon gifts during the holidays, great stickers, baseball card, probably some other things. I meant to thank you both for that back when I got it, but I am critically inept at emailing, texting within appropriate time frames, so I didn't, and so here we are. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
I had been wondering where your thank you note was, and now I have one less thing to worry about, so thank you for clarifying that. I'm glad.
So James writes, David, listening to episode 255, you asked for guitar pedal questions. I have played guitar for many years now, but I've always found the world of recording equipment and effects to be a little daunting. Don't know why. Perhaps I am paralyzed by the fear of the unknown. Perhaps I am just lazy. Regardless, I have been a huge fan of the psychedelic surf rock group from Auburn, Man or Astro Man,
for
a long,
name that takes
long
me back.
Time.
Yeah.
I love playing along to a lot of their tracks, but I've always wanted to find that quintessential surf rock sound. My question is, how does one best ride that sonically sweet surf rock sound wave? Is it all amp? Is there a pedal combo? Is there a superior surf setup? Do you play surf rock, David? Am I even asking the right questions? Then he has a question for me. John, no questions. My wife and I made a March Madness bracket for the first time, and we know nothing about college basketball. I just wanted you to know that we think you'd be very bit disappointed in our choices.
Hmm.
You should probably be addressing David on that.
I am the new authority on college basketball. I am the captain now. All future basketball and sports questions will come to me.
Thank you both for what you do. I've been a listener for a very long time. We currently live in Jersey City. Jersey City's got a great skyline that's coming up on board, but I really don't want it to be. I want it to be part of the New York skyline. I don't like counting it separately because it bumps Charlotte a level. And we have an incredible view of the Manhattan skyline. When the sun is rising, it's surely one of the best skylines in the world. Also, if the pigeons I see at Herald Square ever stand still long enough to get an isolated recording, I'll be sure to send it.
With
in.
Due respect, okay. We don't need a recording of pigeons. We all know what pigeons sound like.
So back to the pedal questions. What do you think about
this? It's all amp. What you need, friend, is a tube amp with a spring reverb. That's what you need. You need one of those big twin 12 silver tone amps with the separate head that comes out of the back and sits on top. And then you take the reverb and turn it up all the way. And you'll know it's a true spring reverb if there's a metal box inside the amp, because that's the reverb. It's a spring tank. I think that's the most important thing for authentic surf guitar sound. We talked about this on our Patreon episode about Dex Romweber, but I played in a band and it kind of was influenced by the Flat Duo Jet sound, which was kind of a surfy, nostalgic sound with a lot of spring reverb and overdriven tube amplification. And so I had a Dan Electro, which was a big surf era guitar, those cheap Sears Roebuck guitars. Remember talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was drawing very, very thirstily from the sounds and the timbres of surf rock, even if we weren't actually playing surf rock. So yeah, get a tube amp with spring reverb, a vintage amp, or buy one of those freaking software digital packages that allows you to model any single amp in any type of room that you want and do it all virtually. But it'd be more fun to have a real amp, a real physical amp. I bought a new amp last weekend, John. We didn't even talk about that. I'm so sick and distracted. I didn't even tell you I went to meet a man in a parking lot and I bought a new amp.
Well, that's cool.
I have to get more amps, everybody. Give me more money so I can get more amps.
All right. Well, we've got another question about pedals. Jade says, I've played guitar since I was a young kid, over 20 years, but most of my equipment, and especially pedals, have always been hand-me-downs from friends, random things I found on Craigslist, etc.
That's the way to do it. You're on the right path, Jade.
I've never really invested in good pedals, so my question is, if you could only have a few pedals, what would be your stranded on a desert island picks? Which have you found to be consistently in your setup? I realize taste and style are a big component of this, but I'm curious to hear your perspective. Thank you for continuing to make EPM. I've been listening since the beginning, and y'all help keep me and my best friend sane in these wild times. Thanks for listening, Jade. And thanks for the question in the email.
Mm. Yes, beautifully put, John.
Go ahead, David.
So this is like desert island pedals. If I really think about this, this is what I've thought about before when they talk about what are your desert island discs? You know that phrase? You can only take 10 records onto a desert island. What are you taking?
Mm-hmm.
I always get caught up in the idea of, okay, should I really be packing for a life on a desert island? Because if that's the case, I'm not bringing some of my favorite records. Like, I'm not going to try to listen to Nick Drake's Pink Moon if I'm stranded for the rest of my life on a desert island, mm-hmm. because it will induce self-harm and suicide. Like, that record is really beautiful, but I don't think I trust myself to listen to it alone on a desert island for 40 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would have to bring like uplifting music, I think. Music that had a sense of community and busyness so that I felt surrounded by people.
Praise music.
I would just bring John's praise music mixtapes. Yeah. Similarly, friends, when it comes to pedals that I would bring on a desert island, okay, am I bringing out a guitar? Am I bringing a keyboard? Can I bring my noise boxes? What instruments do I have to run these pedals through? If I only have a guitar, there's probably some pedals I wouldn't bother bringing because they reach their full expression when you're using them with noise equipment and contact microphones. I would definitely bring a looper pedal, obviously, so that I can entertain myself and build up entire orchestras of fellow feeling just with a single guitar. That would be the most important pedal to bring if you're alone on a desert island. And I'm sure that sales of loopers went through the roof when everyone was isolated during COVID shutdowns. But would I bring Maleco Industries Charlie Foxtrot pedal, that granular delay pedal that I use just about every time I get together to make noise? Probably not, because although it's so distinctive, it's not really practical for actual music making, which is probably what I would be doing on the desert island, because music more than noise reminds me of humanity and is nostalgic. So let's think. I'm bringing a looper pedal. I guess I would just bring a compressor pedal. That's what people say you should have. So I can do twangy country licks. I don't know. Let me think about that some more. I'm not entirely sure I'm ready to answer this question. I know that I solicited pedal questions, but because I'm under the weather and I'm entirely focused on the numbers vis-a-vis the NCAA men's basketball tournament, I'm actually ironically not sure I can answer this question about what pedals to bring to a desert island. If, however, you're using this rubric as a way to get me to say what pedals should I buy, you should buy a granular delay pedal, you should buy a compressor pedal, you should buy a looper pedal, and you should buy some type of overdrive or boost pedal. I'm sure you have some of these as hand-me-downs from your friends, and those pedals are precious indeed because they were given to you by people who care for you. So never get rid of those pedals. In fact, this person's name is Jade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jade, if we really want to get into this, and I'm happy to do that, send an email to contact@electionprofitmakers.com. Tell me what type of equipment you use to make music. Are you a guitarist or a bassist or what?
Guitar.
Oh, definitely guitar? Then tell me what type of music you want to make and tell me what pedals you currently have, and I'll help you fill out your collection. We'll identify the weak spots in your collection. It's like building a wine cellar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's okay. So Jade, contact@electionprofitmakers.com, and David will get back to you on that.
I'm on the case. Thank you.
Got a letter here from Matthias. David, I am writing a response to your recent call to action to ask more questions about guitar pedals. Oh my God. What is your favorite reverb pedal?
What's it feel like, John? It's nice,
and
right?
Why? I feel a reverb pedal preference can say a lot about a musician, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. So am I, David. What
John,
are your thoughts?
What do you think my favorite reverb pedal is? Tell me your thoughts.
The Tronix? Is that a reverb
pedal? That was a distortion, but a fuzz pedal.
Okay, I don't know.
John's referencing a legendarily poorly manufactured distortion pedal that we had in our high school band in the 90s, the Tronix. I'm not a huge reverb pedal guy because that's not really what I kind of music I make.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned to that other listener, if you want twangy reverb, you got to go with it. I think it's better to just get a spring reverb amp rather than a pedal. I have a couple different reverb pedals. One is a Line 6 reverb pedal, and I also have a Boss digital reverb pedal. And I will say I prefer the Line 6 pedal because the reverb is darker and sounds more mysterious, which I kind of like. I like dark sounding reverb, not super bright sounding reverb, unless, again, you're playing like surf rock or something. I can't really speak to reverb pedals now.
Okay.
I feel kind of bad because I just don't have a lot. John, what are we going to do? You look crestfallen.
No, I'm fine.
You look absolutely heartbroken. Line 6 reverb pedal. Check it out. Or buy one of those like super. I mean, reverb now, as John knows, because of digital technology, they can model any type of reverb in the world.
Interesting.
And if you buy one of those like fancy like Maris reverb pedals that cost so much money, that cost like as much as guitars, you can do incredible trippy things with reverb. But for me, I would just trip out to a delay pedal rather than a reverb pedal. But again, that's just me. I'm just, as they say, built different.
Brian writes, as a proud adoptive Austinite of 16 years, I was thrilled at the reading on last week's EPM of a compilation of posts by the most annoying and checked out people
you know what?
In
Let's
my
skip
face.
This was more of the this was more of the what we were calling the battle for Austin. This listener wrote in extremely sarcastically, taking issue with my mischaracterization of Austin and my reducing it to its most unappealing stereotypes. So we'll just say duly noted, Austin is probably not as bad as I made it out to be when I was ranting about it months ago or whenever that was. But friends, the battle of Austin and the battle for the future of Austin is officially closed. Unless we hear from someone who like is the mayor of Austin, then we'll take it up.
Right.
Austin has good things about it and bad things about it. And why don't we just leave it at that?
Gordo writes in, hello from a faithful longtime listener. I'm contacting you in order to make you aware of a serendipitous experience I had while listening to your fine podcast.
When I was flying home with my water bottle attached to my backpack, I turned around and hit some lady in the head.
No. So they continue. Unfortunately, this story starts with a sad fact that my wife, Melissa, passed away on February 1st of breast cancer. I'm so sorry, Gordo. It fell to me to write her obituary. And in the end, I referred to her as one of the top 10 best people to have ever lived. A week or two later, I was listening to episode 248, where you listed several unclaimed .com domains.
Several.
Yeah. And I was astonished upon hearing that worldsbesthuman.com was available. Needless to say, I jumped on it and immediately bought the domain name. I quickly put together a memorial site with a donation link to Live by Living, an amazing organization that helped her and others living with cancer train for and then eventually climb a 14er. That's a 14,000-foot mountain. Always listen to the numbers. Interestingly, in the short time I have owned the domain name, I have already received an offer, but I don't plan on selling it anytime soon. I'm thankful for your information, as this coincidence has been one of very few bright spots thus far in my grieving experience.
Wow.
That's great.
Gordo, I'm very sorry for your loss. I'm currently logged into worldsbesthuman.com, which is a hell of a domain, making a donation here. In memory of your late wife. This is true synchronicity. And this is the power of domains. Worldsbesthuman.com. How is that still available?
Because
wasn't
know,
that list of names generated like 20 years ago or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think almost 10 years ago.
Worldsbesthuman.com. Huh.
I don't even remember reading that name.
Well, we went through a lot of names and we both entered a sort of fugue state where we were not processing what was coming out of our mouths. I think we've talked about the fact that I used to own worldsgreatestcomedian.com.
Yes.
Slightly more specific than worldsbesthuman.com. But I'm glad this was available, and I'm glad you're using it as a fundraising project, which I'm happy to donate to. Worldsbesthuman.com. Check it out. And again, we're very sorry for your loss, but you're doing something lovely in your late wife's memory, and that's a blessing.
Okay. I think that's good for these listener questions.
John? It's time for me to go drink some hot soup. So why don't we end this episode? Is that all right with you?
Yeah, it's good. Fine with me.
And let's thank our listeners for their passive participation.
Yes, thank you everybody for participating and listening. And I would just like to remind you that Election Profit Makers is an independent production. We welcome your support on Patreon at patreon.com/electionprofitmakers. And if you sign up for Patreon, you'll receive some wonderful EPM stickers in the mail, and you'll also get an invite code to our private Discord. Send your election prediction questions, skyline requests, bird recordings, frog recordings to contact@electionprofitmakers.com. And if you want to advertise with us, email contact@electionprofitmakers.com. Bye-bye.
And remember, we'll be back this weekend with more March Madness updates on the Patreon.
Yes.
And if I'm healthy enough, I am going to that basketball game on Thursday.
You're going even if you're not healthy.
At the Staples Center. John's going to have me there in a bed and an IV drip.
Just wear a mask. You'll be fine.
Look for me behind the basketball court, folks. Row 16. Okay, bye.
Behind the basketball court.
I mean, behind the 16. Basketball. Behind the basketball.
Yeah, behind that hoop. Behind that hoop.
So keep your eyes peeled. Bye.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend, Lee Greenwood. Who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. And I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book.